Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, Sam Mongiovi, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to look back on a historic Olympic soccer tournament, especially for us in CONCACAF. Joining us in a moment will be the editor of Tropigol, a former beat writer for the Rochester Lancers in the 1970s. Michael Lewis will be with us. Also, Dick Howard will give his thoughts on the Olympics and preview the start of the European leagues happening this weekend. And finally, we'll preview the very important match this Saturday at Salen Stadium between the Rhinos and Pittsburgh as the Rhinos fight for the second spot in the playoffs. And rookie midfielder Chris Estrich will join us tonight to talk about that. Now here's our host, Rochester Lancers Hall of Famer Joe Sirianni, and Sam Mongiovi, my partner in crime.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Andrew, for the nice introduction. And still, we're in the mood for soccer. We saw all the Olympics. We enjoyed every moment that on the television, and certainly we're going to talk to a guy that was there right from the beginning, and he can tell us a little bit more than we saw behind the story, the story behind the event. So,
well, hopefully there's a lot to talk about. We got the U.S. men's upset, Mexico over Brazil. I mean, not the U.S. men. I wish it was the U.S.
Yeah, that's wishful thinking.
And with the women winning. Just two of the big stories in soccer.
Certainly. And all the trials and tribulations of a soccer reporter traveling all over the United Kingdom to cover matches instead of being based in London. But let's bring in our good friend Michael Lewis now to talk all about that. Michael's appearance tonight brought to you by New Way Auto Parts. 6 locations in the Rochester area. Go to hanauto.com for all the details. That's hahnauto.com. Michael, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
My pleasure. I'm doing okay. Still going through some jet lag. I got in to JFK in New York early yesterday afternoon, but it's going to take me a few days. I just want to apologize for last week. A lot of craziness happening in that that semifinal match with Canada, and who knew that it was going to go into extra time and the experience in the mix zone where we talked to the players took longer than anticipated, but I appreciate your patience and having me back this week.
Well, that's okay. I think Alex Morgan takes precedence over us. So, but I tell you, it was just an amazing tournament. And you know, whoever would have thought any number of years ago, even as soon as 4 years ago, that CONCACAF would sweep the gold medals in the Olympic Games in soccer. It is absolutely incredible, and we should be very proud of what the teams, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico did in this Olympic Games, and people are certainly talking about it. I know that.
Well, this is the first time since women's soccer was added to the Olympics, and that was in 1996, that a continent or a confederation won both the men's and women's tournaments. Granted, the U.S. has dominated, the U.S. women have dominated their competition, winning 4 out of 5, and essentially getting the silver medal in 2000. But I'm not going to say everyone expected it, but that's not the big surprise. I mean, they definitely showed how much guts desire and determination they had. But the big surprise was Mexico being able to not reach the gold medal match, but beat Brazil, and beat Brazil quite handily. You know, they scored 29 seconds into the final and forced the South Americans to chase the game. They're not used to that. Brazil entered the that game scoring 3 goals in each of their previous matches. So everyone thought, okay, it's just a matter of time before they're going to do something, but give Mexico a lot of credit.
It definitely was the hero, Oribe Peralta, was scored both goals for Mexico, and what a tournament he had, and scoring 29 seconds into the match had to stun everybody at Wembley. And I know you were there. What was the reaction? Was the crowd behind Brazil pretty much, or was it a split crowd, or what happened with that?
I think it was more, it seemed like Mexico won them over. I think early on it might have been split, but I think the way that they saw the Mexicans were playing, and they were playing with passion, which they do a lot, but they were very, very organized. They did not get out of position. When Brazil eventually did attack, they were not stretched, and Jose Corona, their goalkeeper, did just about everything you would want a goalkeeper to do, either catch or knock the ball out of harm's way when Brazil did attack. So it was, they acquitted themselves well, and I think they definitely won over the fans as the game went on.
He plays for Santos Laguna in Mexico, yeah. Joe, so certainly a familiar face to people who watch the CONCACAF Champions League.
Mike, much has been said, from the Brazilian fan base here in Rochester and also in Brazil, of course, that the blames go to the coach because he was not able to organize the plane. Are you, Romario's, he was quoted to say that, this guy should be banned from, the coach should be banned from coaching again, the national thing, Coach Mauro Muniz. So what do you think?
Well, the Brazilian Football Confederation made a top priority of winning the gold medal because Brazil, incredible as it sounds, they've never won the gold medal. They've won 5 World Cups. They've won, including this tournament, now 3 silvers and 2 bronze medals, and it's astounding that they have not been able to do it. So they've made a big deal about this, and they fell short. And it's not necessarily the fact that they fell short, but I think it's the way they fell short. Yes, there is a history of Brazilian national team coaches who have taken over the reins of the Olympic team, and they have not won the gold, but who have gotten fired. Because the World Cup is in 2014 and it's hosted by Brazil, I'm not certain Brazil will fire Mano. We'll see. I mean, I expect it, but, I don't know what they're thinking. The thing is, if they get rid of him, do they have someone who could organize the team within a 2-year period? I'll tell you this right now. This team is not ready to win the World Cup. If I had to pick a team that would win the World Cup right now in 2014, and let me tell you this. I should be allowed to change my predictions over the next 2 years, but I would pick Argentina or even Uruguay, one of those 2 teams. Brazil just has not, this team has not shown me enough. And whether
this Olympic
or not,
team,
I'm sorry, go on.
We know this Olympic team was the, it had a lot of star players on the team, but they were missing some of their formidable senior players.
It's tough. It's tough to call really with the Olympic team because again, it's the up and comers. It's true. There are certainly a lot of young players who will be looking to have the chance to play in the World Cup team in 2 years. Guys like obviously Neymar is going to be one of those guys. But
I can tell you. I mean, from watching the game, the thing that impressed me the most, and I thought Brazil was going to, was the way Mexico played, the way Mexico won, and the players they had on the team. Yeah, they had a senior player score both their goals, but wow, I wish we had our U.S. team in the Olympics with this crop of young players playing confidently against such a Brazilian team. I think the future bodes well for Mexico, and I'm hoping it bodes just as well for U.S.
Well, it's funny about Mexico, and they've had some great success at the youth level, winning the last two under-17 FIFA World Cups. They finished third in the under-20, so there we knew that there was some talent there, or a lot of talent there. What Mexico has shown me, particularly when they played against the United States in the last two CONCACAF Gold Cups, one was a 5-0 win at Giant Stadium in 2009, and the other one was a 4-2 victory at the Rose Bowl last year, and that was after the U.S. had taken a 2-0 lead. This team, these Mexican players have a different mentality. I think before they were not as strong in the head, for lack of better words to describe it. They don't get flustered. They just go out and do their jobs. Very much like many U.S. teams, national teams have done. And this is a big difference because with the talent they have, they're getting better coaching, getting better organization, and now that this new mentality, they can go a long way. I'm not going to say they're going to win the World Cup, but they could definitely, they will dominate CONCACAF even more over the next 5, perhaps 10 years. And let's see if they can get past the quarterfinals of the World Cup in 2014. If they do that, if they reach the semifinals, then I think they have definitely arrived. But they're going to be a force to be reckoned with internationally.
Of course, they're the most popular team in the United States, too. So, unfortunately, yeah. But it is true. I know that Andres Cantor on Telemundo was incredibly excited when...
I can't believe it. His sorte lasted for over 2 minutes. Go, mamma mia. I said, how much breath does this guy really have?
Hey, he took a lot of voice lessons when he was... Yeah. Preparing for his first World Cup. If you read his book, his book is very good, though. Definitely check it out. It talks about how he became an announcer and how he prepared to cover the World Cup for the first time. So,
Michael, let's just talk a little bit about, I have to tell you that since I've been watching women's soccer, I have become a bigger fan of the women game than the men's game. Let's talk a little bit about, the Canada-U.S. game. What was your impression? All the calls.
I called it the best women's game I've ever seen. Now, I've seen games that have been played better with less mistakes, but in terms of pure drama and for what was at stake, it was marvelous soccer. I like to think I've seen my share of U.S. national team women's games and some other countries as well, but it doesn't get much better than that. On one side, you had the top-ranked team in the world, the favorites. On the other side, you had the pretenders and definitely contenders, but also pretenders in CONCACAF, Canada, led by their outstanding captain and striker, Christine Sinclair, who is now, she cannot be called the most underrated player in the world because everyone knows who she is. She scores all 3 goals for Canada. And each time they took a 1-goal lead and then the U.S. fought back. Saying all that, and this is from a pure soccer standpoint. I'm not talking as a U.S. citizen, but as a soccer writer. The U.S. was lucky, fortunate to get that penalty kick by Abby Wambach, because I think that call, I'm not saying it's unjustified, but I think Canada goalkeeper Erin McLeod should have been yellow carded before that about time wasting. And I thought when Megan Rapinoe hit the indirect free kick into the wall, that was more like an accidental handball. But saying that, it makes the game even more legendary because of what had occurred.
but
let me comment. I've heard some people talking about this. As a matter of fact, on the Sirius Olympic Channel, they were having a recap of the match, and people calling in, and a senior referee called in who had refereed collegiate, high school, professional women's matches in the past, and said the reason why it was a handball is because the Canadian defender, one of the two that hit the ball with their arm, because it happened twice, stuck her arm out from her body, and that is why it is a penalty kick. But as for the call, I'm sure you've seen the reports, Mike, that it was Abby Wambach, actually, who was standing next to the referee counting the seconds while McLeod held the ball. And she really, it may have been gamesmanship, it may have been, you know, assisting the referee, but by the letter of the law, she had been warned already. And she, by letter of the law, you have 6 seconds to release the ball. She held it for more than 10, and she was obviously wasting time.
But so she was warned verbally, but I think there should have been a yellow card as well, too. But that's just from what times I've seen soccer. I'll tell you this about Abby Wambach. This just shows you or tells you about what level she is playing at when she can notice that and start counting how many seconds. Was she playing gamesmanship with the referee? Perhaps. Probably. It doesn't matter. The referee is going to make up her own mind eventually. But how many players would do that? And this is what, I've called Abby the spiritual leader of the team. She's a leader in so many other ways as well, too. And she showed that on that play. And like I said, how many players would do that? I don't think I've heard of any player doing something like that before.
Going back to the Japan game, which was, a revenge kind of a game, to qualify for the final. Certainly there was a great game, too, because, the Japanese were very well organized, and they give the U.S. A hard time in order to, for the U.S. to win. So there was a well-earned victory, in my opinion. There was a lot of controversy over there, too, because, they said that we were physical and they were not. But
there was also a blatant penalty that was not called, and I will stick by that. The U.S. got very lucky. There should have been a call. I think it was Tobin Heath, if I remember right.
That is correct, right? And I think that it should have been a penalty. What did Branch Rickey, the former Brooklyn Dodgers executive, once say many, many decades ago? Luck is the residue of design. Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good, and the U.S. will take that. It should have been a penalty, but what?
I tell you,
too late to argue it.
Talking about luck, if you look back at the game, Canada and France. France completely dominated the game. How many times they hit the post, and they just missed wide by inches, and they were by far the superior team. But they lost. So that's the way it goes.
Only stat that matters is how many goals you stick in the old onion bag.
It confirms what you said, as they say, luck plays a big part in a game. Unfortunately, no matter what it is, but luck is if it's on your side, you know it's good for you. If it's against you, then you cry. You cry wolf.
Well, what I liked about the women's tournament was I think the four best teams reached the semifinals. And I think Canada definitely raised its level. Even though they don't have as much, let's say, depth of the same quality of players as the U.S., I hope this comes out correctly, they have a lot of very good players, but they're going to try to find a way to get closer to the U.S. level. Because they're hosting the 2015 Women's World Cup, so there's a lot on the line there, and I think they'd love to get to the finals of that event, and I think they showed that they can. France, another superb team. The coaches a little different. He likes to do things slightly different, but he gets the most out of his players. And Japan, Joe, like you said, a very well organized team. They love to play that, you know, small ball possession game, and before you know it, they're in, you know, they're at the edge of your penalty area, ready to take a shot. And they gave the U.S. back line a lot of headaches, particularly early on, getting open for some fairly decent shots. So,
well, that's why they're the world champions. They play like no other women's team. So, Michael, we got to take a break. Can we come back to you? We want to hear about Michael Lewis's excellent adventures in the U.K.
No problem.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so we're going to come right back with more from Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsford United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsford, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The 2012 WPSL Elite Champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all of their fans at Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to an unprecedented third straight women's soccer title this year. Be sure to visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com during the offseason for the latest news on the team and information about season tickets for 2013. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
The Rochester Rhinos play their final regular USL Pro League match this Saturday, August 18th at Salem Stadium against the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Kickoff is at 7.05 p.m. It's the annual Rhinos Fan Appreciation Night. Rhinos tickets can be purchased at the Salem Stadium box office through Ticketmaster or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Group sales discounts are available. Be at the heart of the Rhinos action at Salem Stadium all season long.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, Sam Mongiovi, and Michael Lewis with us. And this portion of the show brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria. Visit their two new brand new locations in Greece and the village of Spencerport. 234-5555 or go to salvatores.com. Michael, I got to tell you, I was reading some of your blog posts on tropigold.com about your travels amongst the different big cities in the UK, Glasgow, Newcastle, Manchester, and finally London. And I tell you, I've done some of that kind of traveling in the UK, and it is not easy, definitely. You went from one end of the country all the way to the other end. So tell us about the Olympic experience for you as covering the U.S. national team and the men's tournament too.
Well, you know, the best thing about covering the Olympic soccer tournament is, because they have to play outside the main city, is that you get a chance to see whatever country you're in. And even though I've been in Manchester before, I was never in Glasgow or in Newcastle. And it was an eye-opening experience in both those cities. Newcastle, you know, all I knew, you know, from a coal mining region, but what a city. I mean, I know it has a reputation, or I learned it had a reputation of being a party town. No, I did not have much time to party, if any time to party, but just from what I knew of it beforehand and what I know of it now, totally different views and whatnot. I'm glad I went. I'm glad I did it. I wish I had a little more time in London, because London is one of my favorite cities in the entire world. I've been there enough through the years, but that's the way the tournament went.
It's a great city. I got to ask you about Newcastle. You know, in Newcastle, they don't speak English, or else you can't understand them. They have such a thick accent. I mean, my wife, when she was in Newcastle, when she was in school in England, she couldn't understand them because of their accent is just so profound. I mean, did you have any trouble in that area?
It's funny you mention that, because I know a soccer photographer in the United States who is from that region, and he still has part of that accent. So it sort of was like listening to, the gentleman's name is Tony Quinn, a very, very good photographer, excellent photographer. So it took a couple minutes, and I said, wait a minute now, these people sound a lot like Tony Quinn, except obviously their accents were a lot thicker, but I did not have as many problems as perhaps other people did, and I have to thank Tony for that, for coming to the United States and talking to me.
How about that?
You know, Mike, when we first were bringing you on the show, I mistakenly mentioned the U.S. men's national team for the Olympics, and rightfully so, Andrew corrected me, and it got me thinking, and from some of your experience and knowledge, what is going on, just a brief viewpoint from you, that the men's national team for the U.S., so the under 23s at least, are not qualifying for this tournament?
Well, you know, they qualified in 2000. They didn't qualify in 2004. They qualified in 2008. And this time, and this is embarrassing, you know, we can't even get out of the group stage in Nashville, Tennessee, on U.S. soil against El Salvador. And the United States was leading El Salvador in stoppage time. The Central American side scored, and the tie knocked us out of reaching the semifinals in the CONCACAF qualifying, and that's devastating. Is it the end of the program? No, but the way I look at it is, any time a player can get experience in a high-profile tournament such as the Olympics, and it comes and goes very quickly. You could go in three games, or you can go a long way into the medal round, like the 2000 team did in Sydney. But it's just a great experience, because at that age, when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, any experience internationally like that, under pressure, in front of big crowds, maybe hostile type crowds, is gold. Maybe not as golden as a gold medal, but once-in-a-lifetime experience. And even U.S. national coach Jürgen Klinsmann wanted that team to reach the Olympics, because he played for Germany. Actually, I believe it was West Germany way back in the 1988 Olympics in Seoul. And he said he had a great time.
What is it? Is it bad luck, would you say? Are we technically kind of fluctuating, not matching up with the other CONCACAF teams?
I think this time, you know, we definitely had the talent, and maybe just wonder if they were overconfident. And there was that bad luck there, giving up the goal later on, you know, in stoppage time. And it's that perennial lesson, you know, you don't give up until the final whistle goes. You go, it's not 90 minutes, it's 95, 96 minutes with all the added and stoppage and injury time, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's a lesson learned, a hard lesson learned. It's funny, if the U.S. had qualified, it certainly would have made my life a lot more interesting, because I would have been bouncing between venue and venue. Saying that, I would have accepted that challenge. But, you know, the U.S. has 4 years to figure it out for Rio, and whoever will be the coach will put together a team that that can qualify the team. It's funny, going back to the 2000 Olympics, no one expected the U.S. to do as well as they did. They reached the medal round before they lost to Spain and then Chile in the semifinals and third place match. But and that was, that tournament was so much fun, because the U.S., again, no one gave the U.S. a chance beforehand, and look what they did. They exceeded expectations. And actually, they were the story of the tournament, I think, above the U.S. women, because the U.S. women, who were expected to win everything in sight, lost in the gold medal match, albeit it was in extra time, and it was a great, great soccer game. So you just don't know when the next great game or next experience a player is going to have. But playing in the Olympics, because it's an age group situation, you know, you have to be under 23. It's a once, for many players, unless they're an overage selection later on in their careers, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Sorry for Absolutely. The long soliloquy.
Absolutely. And before I let you go, I got to ask you, tell us about the four stadiums that you were part of. You were at Hampden Park, the home of the national team of Scotland, St. James's Park, home of Newcastle United, of course, Old Trafford, the Theater of Dreams, and the new Wembley. So tell us about the stadiums.
Oh, boy. You're putting me on the spot, because I know time is running out.
Yeah, I know.
Hampden Park, you know, they're all historical. I mean, at Hampden Park, knowing, you know, like 138,000 people once saw a soccer game there in maybe an earlier rendition of the stadium, but it's amazing just to imagine that many people were crammed into a soccer park, a great park to watch soccer from. I use one word in my blog, I think, in my diary about Old Trafford, and I called it majestic. And I think I'll leave it at that, because I don't think any other word or anything else I could say will do that stadium justice. St. James's Park in Newcastle, what I'm going to remember most about it is not the fact that we were like, the media was six rows from the action, which is, I've never been this close to the action in my life, and a beautiful modernized football ground in England. When Roger Espinoza of Honduras was red carded in the 90th minute and he walked off the field, the entire crowd got up on its feet and gave him a standing ovation. And I don't recall ever seeing this before, that a player would get a standing ovation after getting a red card. And it wasn't because they were happy to see him go. It was because he had just, they realized Espinoza put in one of these incredible, playing the game by the heart, by his heart, wearing his heart on the sleeve. He went from box to box, and he did everything he could to get his team position to beat Brazil. And Brazil did beat Honduras 3-2, but I've never seen anything like that. As Espinoza's walking off the field, Brazilian players are applauding him. They're shaking his hand. The Brazilian coach is applauding as well, too. But they understood the effort he put out there. And that's what I'm going to remember about St. James's Park, the fans. And Wembley, well, I been to the old Wembley, the new Wembley, fabulous, great, you know, incredible ground. It's just, you know, it's like, I guess, the new Yankee Stadium, just accruing history. I got the opportunity, I felt fortunate to see two gold medal games, one on Thursday night, one on Saturday afternoon, crowds of 80,000 plus. I don't know how many times you could say that you've seen games 2 days apart or with that many people. I won't say it's majestic. I'm looking for that right word to describe it. And maybe I'll try and figure out what it is the next time I'm on board with you guys. Sorry.
How about awesome?
Thank you very much, Mike. And we've got to have you back because we want to talk about the future of soccer in America. So we'll have you back.
Are you coming up to Rochester for the match on September 1st?
At the moment, I don't have any plans. I'll probably be watching it on TV. I'm still decompressing. We'll see. If my mind changes, possibly, yes. I'd love to see the reaction there that Abby Wambach gets from the fans. I mean, she is, you know, I think a lot of people have said it, fabulous player, no doubt. But I've never seen a star, superstar, whatever you want to call her, who just thinks more about the team than herself. And I think it's because, well, that's Abby. And also, she knows what she can bring to the team. She's comfortable in her skin as a soccer player and as a person. But it's always about the team. It's never about Abby Wambach. It will be interesting to see, again, what that reaction will be on September the 1st.
Well, if you come up, we'll definitely take you out for a nice nice Italian meal someplace. There's plenty of spots to go to, that's for sure. Well, Mike, thanks again. We really appreciate you spending all this time with us. And glad you're back in the U.S., and we'll talk to you again soon.
And say hello to the wife.
Yes.
I definitely, Joy says hello to everyone. She reminded me about that. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. We'll talk more a bit about the Olympics, and we'll see what else is coming. Of course, we've got the U.S. and Mexico this Wednesday down at the Estadio Azteca. We'll talk about that. And Canada also plays Trinidad and Tobago this Wednesday. A lot of international matches coming up. We'll talk about that next with Dick Howard on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 a.m. and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
This is Hope Solo, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web. FM 92.1 and 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester. Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, with 6 locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store, servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to hanauto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's hahnauto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
The Rochester Rhinos play their final regular USL Pro League match this Saturday, August 18th at Salem Stadium against the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Kickoff is at 7:05 p.m. It's the annual Rhinos Fan Appreciation Night. Rhinos tickets can be purchased at the Salem Stadium box office through Ticketmaster or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Group sales discounts are available. Be at the heart of the Rhinos action at Salem Stadium all season long.
For essentials like toothpaste or toilet paper, you buy in bulk. It's easier and cheaper. The same is true with insurance from Allstate. Save big when you combine your car insurance with home insurance, boat, motorcycle, ATV, or even another car. Buy in bulk, save in bulk. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo, 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. Stand by
zero. Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Minor Gaming in Pittsburgh at Northfield Commons. Number to call is 248-2650 or go to their website at topnotchminorgaming.com. Before we go to Dick, though, Joe has a quick note he's talking
about. I'm going to say something that Dick probably remember this guy. I want to pay compliments and honor to Eddie Morante. I have a letter in front of me from Julie D'Onofrio that compliment Ed for being part of youth soccer, and perhaps where Abby Wambach is today. He was promoting Chalai soccer, little sky soccer.
If it wasn't for Ed Morante, we would not have youth soccer in Rochester, and that's where Ed and that's Abby. You know, she got started in the
kudos
youth.
To Ed. So
absolutely. Okay, Dick, how you doing?
I certainly endorse that. Eddie has done so much for the youth, the grassroots level of the game, which is so important, and I had a chance to meet him a couple of years ago and chat to him. But it's great that he's recognized, because often they're the unsung heroes, and when you see the Abby Wambachs when they're playing for the national team, they tend to be forgotten, but they are so important in the formative years.
Absolutely. So we have a short segment this week, so we'll skip Europe, European League stuff for next week. I know Joe wants to talk about Juventus. They don't actually start.
We don't want to talk about Juventus or Chelsea or anything like that, right?
Yeah, no. None of that. But we will. Before, I want to get your thoughts on Christine Sinclair and the Canadian women. But and then we'll get to the big friendlies coming, because I just saw something I could not believe, a match that's coming up on Wednesday, but. The reaction for the bronze medalists from Canada. I think they absolutely deserve it to get third place after the match with the United States. And, you know, sometimes, like Joe, it's better to – it doesn't matter how much possession you have, how many corner kicks the team has. All that matters is the final score. And Canada got the goal in the 92nd minute to win the bronze medal, and I'm very happy for them.
Unbelievable game. No, it has been quite remarkable, Andrew. You haven't probably had the chance to – see the newspapers or the TV and the radio and tweets and Twitters and everything. There's just been so much reaction following the U.S. game and then Canada getting the bronze medal. It has been quite remarkable. In fact, it resulted in Christine Sinclair being the flag bearer for the closing ceremonies for Canada on Sunday, and she was just so proud. It was just great, and the recognition that she's had for her performance, you know, 6 goals in the tournament. Quite remarkable leadership qualities. But it's really, I've just been amazed by how it's captured the whole nation. And women's football, women's soccer has been the big winner, because everybody is aware of it now. And the viewership for the game was breaking all records here in Canada.
And it's wonderful. We've We saw Christine up close and personal. We've had her on our show a number of times when she was with The Flash last year. So she's an absolute class act, and it's going to be very interesting. I think she will end up being the all-time leading goal scorer, at least for a while, until Alex Morgan has a few more years under her belt. But well, I think she will beat Abby out because she's 3 years younger than Abby.
I mean, another great thing, like you were saying, Dick, for the sport itself in Canada. I know there was kind of like a rivalry between U.S. and Canada, but not so much. Not what I've been reading about.
Oh, no, there's a rivalry, Sam, I'll tell you. Whether it's the men's team or the women's team, you know, and it's great because it's like England, Scotland, Rangers, Celtic, you know, those kinds of rivalries. But there is one, and certainly, you know, when you look at that fabulous semi-final, you know, and the drama in that game, and the emotions that you saw at the end of the game, it was quite remarkable. And I was delighted that Canada were able to bounce back, because often when you come out on the wrong end of a semi-final defeat, you can't raise your game for the next game, but they did. And the person I feel sorry for is the French coach, because they outshot Japan, they outshot Canada, and they end up getting nothing.
I know. Nick, one of the things that I think the winner of this tournament, of the Olympic, especially in soccer, is that the game is the winner. Now, it'll depend.
Excellent point, Joe.
Yeah, it'll depend on what Canada and the United States going to do to establish a league that will employ those players and prepare for the World Cup.
Excellent because point. In fact, I sent a congratulatory note to the president of the Canadian Soccer Association and the general secretary and congratulated him, you know, for the team's performances. And then a little PS, I said, I hope that they are going to be talking to U.S. soccer about the formation of a sustainable professional league in North America, because that's so needed for the players that we've seen in action in this tournament. And when you look at the fact that CONCACAF won 3 out of the 4 medals, you know, it's quite remarkable, you know, with Mexico's triumph over Brazil and the U.S., of course, win and Canada's bronze. It's just remarkable.
It was a great soccer tournament for CONCACAF. I think it really puts our region on the map. And speaking of on the map, this is unbelievable. On Wednesday, and I had no idea this was happening, the number one team in the world, Spain, will play Puerto Rico at the Estadio Ramon Lobreal Stadium, where
bien,
the Puerto Rico
bien.
Islanders play. Incredible.
Es grande por los puertorriqueños, ¿sí? It's
unbelievable.
Great.
I know Xavi is not coming, but I wonder if they're going to bring the majority of the European champions to play in Puerto Rico.
But it's, you have to give credit to the Puerto Rican Federation, you know, for attracting a team of that quality. I think it's quite remarkable, and it's going to, again, help the game. And we've seen it with the Puerto Rico Islanders, what they've done with regards to the development of the game. And I think it's tremendous because there's some good games and obviously some quality games that Spain could play, but they opted for that.
That's going to be a great match. At 4:30 p.m., if you have ESPN Deportes or ESPN3, you can watch that game at 4:30. Some other big games, Dick, on this Wednesday. I think the biggest one, Italy against England. How about that one? I know it's going to be here live on Rai Television, so I know that
it's
Joe's going to be...
It's going to be redemption for the Italian team.
Do you think so, Joe? We should have a bet on that, a bottle of wine or something like that, even though it's a friendly game. But no Balotelli, but it should be a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the report for Juventus-Napoli that they played the Super
4-2 extra time, right?
I'm sorry?
4-2 winning extra time for
yes,
La Vecchia
Signora. Napoli didn't show up for the celebration. They were so upset, so... There's a lot of things going on in Italy pertaining to that.
And you'll have an update with regards to Antonio Conte in the upcoming weeks, right?
Yeah, extended definitely. For 10 months.
10 months.
I know. So that means basically the whole season, pretty much. But let's mention some of the other big matches. An ESPN2, 2:45, Germany against Argentina. That's going to be a great one.
That's going to be a great game.
That's going to be that'll
USA,
be live,
Mexico.
Of course. And USA-Mexico at 8 p.m. from the Estadio Azteca, ESPN2 and Univision. So this is, and of course, Canada. Canada's playing Trinidad and Tobago in Florida.
Yeah.
Interesting location for that match. I don't
know
why
it is.
That,
I think that you know, mainly players that he wanted to see from MLS and some younger players from Europe, but he hasn't brought all the players back for preparation for the big games against Panama, of course, that are coming up in the next round of qualifying for World Cup.
Absolutely. So Dick, the big match, of course, September 1st, U.S. against Costa Rica here at Salem Stadium. Are going to be able to come up for that, do you think?
Well, it'd be great to see the game. Certainly, the crowd, I'm sure, will be very much in evidence. And I think it's tremendous that they're able to get a game. And getting back to Eddie Morante and Abby Wambach, you know, situation, it's great that Abby can come back and get the deserved recognition for all her efforts with the U.S. national team. She's such a competitor. It's just great.
Yeah, exactly. Tickets go on sale to the general public on Friday. If you have a Visa card or if you're a Rhino season ticket holder, you get some early possibilities for that. Check U.S. Soccer or go to rhinosoccer.com for all the details. Dick, thanks for being with us. Again, next week we'll talk about European soccer. We'll get all the previews out for all the different leagues.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care. All the best.
Bye-bye, Dick. Dick Howard here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll be speaking with one of the new members of the Rochester Rhinos, Chris Estrich, as we talk about this Saturday's final home match of the regular season against Pittsburgh. This is Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
The 2012 WPSL Elite Champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all of their fans at Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to an unprecedented third straight women's soccer title this year. Be sure to visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com during the offseason for the latest news on the team and information about season tickets for 2013. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes. Great price.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Indiana wants me. And welcome back to Soccer is the Kick of the Grass. Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, Sam Mongiovi here. And the Rhinos will be in action this Saturday, 7 p.m. kickoff against the Pittsburgh Riverhounds on Fan Appreciation Night. You definitely want to be there. The Rhinos win. They have an excellent chance to finish second in the league. And joining us now from the Rhinos, member of the University of Indiana Hoosiers, past couple seasons, did very well there, and is now member of the Rhinos. Chris Estrich joins us at Chris' appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. Get your tickets by calling 454-KICK, and you get your playoff tickets as well, as the Rhinos have clinched their 17th straight appearance in the playoffs. Every year they've been in the league, they've been in the playoffs. That's something special. Chris, thank you for being with us, and welcome to Rochester. How you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well.
So, Chris, I know you've come in very late in the season here, and you've been a force at the in the offensive side of the midfield, and done very well, played very strong, had a lot of activity. What do you do with the hands? I'm Italian. I talk with my hands. You know that. Anyway, so Chris, what has it been like for you getting the pro experience from your as opposed to your days at Indiana?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm definitely happy to be here, and it's been really good being here, getting to play. Been in the MLS for a couple months, and I hadn't seen the field at all. It's been fantastic being here and playing and really doing as best I can to support the team and hopefully do well in the playoffs.
Well, Chris, this is Joe Sirianni. Give us a little bit of the analogy of when we're wrong at the game.
It was just we came out a little bit soft in the beginning, and once we let one goal in, it kind of it went sour on us, and we ended up kind of getting down on ourselves, and we let two more in that definitely should not have let in. The first goal was a fantastic strike, and so there wasn't much our goalkeeper could do about that, but once that went in, our confidence dropped, and we were just chasing the game ever since.
It's tough. I know that.
Well, it's a new game coming Saturday. The next game Saturday. So I hope that you guys put this game behind you and come out with a winning attitude, which I know that you had it, but come out with what is the word that I'm looking for?
So new enthusiasm. Huh? New enthusiasm.
Don't let this game get you guys down. Because it happens to everybody.
It's a mulligan.
Just like hitting a mulligan.
Yeah. So you're definitely disappointed with that. In the locker room after the game, everyone was pretty upset about it. We're definitely looking forward to this next one, so we can just forget about what's happened and give something to the fans.
Chris, the situation right now with the playoffs, the Rhinos are in the playoffs. We're trying to get that second place to get a bye, so we don't have to play next weekend. Now, Richmond is really if we win on Saturday, the only team that catches is Richmond. They have to beat Antigua twice down in Antigua, and then it would come down to goal difference. So, is there a possibility, depending on the result of the first match down in Puerto Rico, Antigua, that the Rhinos might go all out offensively to try to get as much of a better goal difference as they can, because Richmond has a match on the Sunday. This is the final match of the season.
Absolutely. We're going to go into this game trying to lock up second position without even trying to really focus much on Richmond. We're going to do as much as we possibly can to make sure that they don't even stand a chance to overtake us. We want that second place, and we want to be able to have the bye so we can have a little rest and get ready for the playoffs.
Well, Chris, we're certainly going to be there in force on Saturday. Hopefully, all the Rhino fans out there, this is their last regular season home match. It's against Pittsburgh, a team that we've dominated, and this is very important. We get a huge win, so come on and support the guys this Saturday, 7 p.m. against Pittsburgh. And Chris, I'm sure you'll be out there fighting hard, as the entire team will be, to get that final win on the regular season.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Chris Estrich here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Again, we want to remind you again about the Rhinos on Saturday, but the U.S. Women's National Team match Saturday, September 1st at Salem Stadium, 2:30 kickoff. It'll be live on NBC Network, not Sports Network, but you want to go there live. You want to watch the best women's soccer players in the world. They proved it at the Olympics. They're going to be right here. Homecoming for Abby and for Alex Morgan, the former Flash player. Tickets go on sale at U.S. Soccer Ticketmaster on Friday to the general public. But if you're a Rhinos season ticket holder, you can get your tickets in advance. Call the Rhinos 454-KICK or go to ussoccer.com for more information.
Or to Walmart.
At Walmart, well, whatever. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni, Sam Mongiovi, Dick Howard in Toronto, Michael Lewis down in New York, and Bob D'Angelo down at WYSL. Thanks to the Rhinos for helping us out as well with the show. Do this again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL, 92.1 FM at 10:40 a.m. and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass